We found an underground ocean on Mars. It's not made of water. Part 1. Oceans have always terrified me. Just the feeling of open water, not knowing how far below you something could be lurking in the depths, waiting to devour me with no rhythm or reason as to why, just the primal urge to feed. Figured getting away from Earth would solve that fear, especially considering Mars was mostly desert as far as the eye could see. Bet you didn't know, there was a whole terraforming colony up there already, did you? Yep. Ever since the 90s when we sent our first small crew up, the world's governments have been steadily supplying scientists, builders, and equipment to Outpost Genesis. Work had been slow going, but we've seen a hell of a lot of progress over the past couple of decades that we've been up there. Hell, I've been doing 3-year-on, 2-month-off stints for the past 20 years, slowly helping to build up a survivable planet for my fellow humans. Honestly though, I love it here. Things are different, sure, and I'm not entirely used to missing some Earth commodities after all these years. But knowing we're up here for a real good reason is enough for me to look past all that. We've known for years now that the Earth wasn't going to be sustainable for life as we know it now, either due to climate issues or overpopulation eventually making things go batshit insane. Hell, up here we even have a running bet on exactly what's going to cause Earth to blink out of existence first. And most of us are pretty sure it's going to be the human hubris and violence. As cruel as the Earth could be to us, humanity was always finding ways to be even more cruel to each other. Up here, though, I don't have to worry about that. Meals were taken care of. I had friends to go out drinking with after we got done with the tasks of the day, and things were honestly pretty comfortable. Maybe 400 of us lived up here in total, everyone with their own job and duty to the outpost. I do geographic surveys, picking out the best spots on the planet for new outposts, resource stations, things like that. The best part is, it pays well, and I haven't had to spend a damn cent while I've been up here, so the account back home is bursting whenever I decide to retire. The sun came up and signaled a start of a new day, waking me from my delightful dream to an awful, awful hangover. My head was pounding like someone was taking a jackhammer to the base of my skull, and the last thing that I wanted to do was take a research buggy out with 2 other surveyors. Work is work though, and there's no calling out for hangovers up here. Unless you really, really want to get in trouble. So, against my will, for the most part, I met up with Sandra and Sho in the transport bay to get on the metaphorical road.
"You look like shit,"
Sho said, laughing at me as I walked into the locker room. He was already halfway into his pressure suit, making sure everything was locked in and secure, before we entered the atmosphere of Mars.
"What time did you end up tapping out?"
"Probably around 1. You?" I asked, finding my way to the nearby sink so I could put some cold water on my face. It hit like a brick wall, waking me up much more.
"Psst, I was out of there by 11. Had my drinks, did my rounds, and my ass was in bed before midnight," he retorted.
"Is Teller here yet?"
Sandra said, busting into the locker room already suited up, a huge pack of supplies in her arms. Through the door in the transport garage, I could see our home for the day.
one of the mobile survey labs that were scattered throughout the outpost. It was like a small RV set up with seals, ventilation, and everything needed to do our jobs out in the harsh desert of the Red Planet. "Morning," was about all I could mumble back at her, dragging myself over to the locker containing the Atmos suit. I hated these things, even after all these years I've been using them, and it was still like being put into a little cage. I went diving once in my life, and it felt like the same thing, knowing that only the helmet you're wearing is keeping you from a terrible fate of suffocation, whether it be under the seas or in the hot sands right outside.
"Told you. You should have gone to bed early last night instead of hitting that last Jack and Coke."
Sandra was laughing now as well, turning back with her bag of supplies to load up the research vehicle. All I could do was grumble my discontent as I crawled into the Atmos suit, hearing the pressurized hiss as the last seal snapped into place. Shell walked out to the vehicle before I could leave the room, telling me that I had 5 minutes to finish sobering up.
"What, they gonna give me a Martian DUI?
I shot back, grumpier now. Not sure why I was so irritable today, but something just felt more off than usual. It took a few minutes, but we all finally loaded up in the survey RV, making our way west towards the newest survey site. We had a lot of luck in the past few weeks discovering areas that could possibly support life, with the right push of course, and things were looking pretty bright for the first time in years up here. Maybe that's why I felt so off. The feeling that something could go wrong when everything was going so inexplicably right lately. The drive was a nightmare, though. Know how the infrastructure on Mars is set up? It's not. Any expedition we took was traversing rough, red sand and rocky terrain, with the huge wheels on the RV barely able to handle some of the more jagged chunks of rock that would spike up from nowhere under the sands. I swear the wheels on this thing would tear up a whole mountain back home, but here, every little rock they ran over felt like someone stabbing a dagger into the back of my head. Maybe 3 hours later, we finally reached our destination. I might have ended up asleep if I wasn't the one driving, but Sho and Sandra decided to do their pre-survey checks on our way there, so I was left with the short stick. When we arrived, I could see why we were being sent to study this place. In the midst of the red sands that were stretching around for miles, this single formation of rock stood waiting. It wasn't quite big enough to be a mountain, but as tall as a 5-story building maybe. It went high enough that we would probably need the entire day just to climb it.
"Seriously, we have to get up there?"
I said, letting out an even bigger groan than when we had took off.
"Nope, under it,"
Sean answered, heading past me out the doors. I could see on closer inspection that there was a small opening at the base of the structure. A cave entrance wide enough for a small truck to pass through was there, gaping open as if inviting us into the darkness beyond.
"Grab some flares and floodlights. We're gonna take the buggy as far as we can."
I pressed a button, loosening the small transport buggy we had in the small bay at the back of the survey RV. It rumbled out with a small hiss, the open cabin and bed in the back already piled with what we would need. Just in case, though, we grabbed a few more of the flares and high-powered lamps. If it was gonna be dark, we had to at least be prepared. Even with all the light we were holding in reserve, it took a moment to gather courage once we had reached the cave mouth.
Everything beyond was pitch black, a complete absence of any kind of light source. We turned on the brights of the buggy, and those were barely able to penetrate past the first few meters. All we could tell was that the ground sloped downwards hard almost immediately, meaning we had a descent in store.
"Ready, boys?"
Sandra asked, looking at Sho and I before pulling one of the flares from a bag.
"Might make a discovery that will change humanity's future after all."
"Been hearing that for years,"
Sho mentioned. Sandra chuckled, handing each of us flares to keep on our belt. We set off, brights cutting through the darkness maybe 20 meters ahead, with the abyss running endlessly ahead of us. The rumbling of our wheels echoed off high walls, crunching over hard rock beneath us. As we got further in, the rocky sands of Mars' surface gave way to solid red stone. I found myself tapping the brakes more frequently as we went further down, the descent becoming steeper exponentially.
"Hey, I think we're gonna have to go on foot from here. Drop-off is getting too dangerous for the buggy,"
I said, slowing down enough to pull the emergency and set it in park.
"Never thought I would need a parking brake on Mars."
We set off on foot, loading up flashlights and flares, along with a few small light markers to find our way back more easily. Not like the path was very non-linear, but when you're underground, it's easy to get disoriented. Our boots echoed loudly as we walked across the smooth red rock, shining like a beautiful granite beneath us. It was so much more brilliant than the dull rock on the surface, almost memorizing in the swirling patterns set deep into the stone. Drip, drip, drip. All three of us stopped at the same time, the sound setting off billions of alarms in our minds that all pointed to that life-changing discovery. Water on fucking Mars. We all looked at each other, not even daring to believe that we were the ones to find something like this. We've been theorizing about this for decades, maybe centuries, but to be the ones that actually find it? We would be fucking gods back on Earth.
"No way," Sandra whispered. "We're gonna be loaded."
Sho was giggling already.
"Don't get your hopes up just yet. Our luck, it's fucking oil or something," I mentioned.
"Oh, so you Americans will be up here in no time."
Sho laughed louder. We all kept moving forward, scanning the walls with bright flashlights, hoping to find the source of the drip. It took minutes of walking, the drip echoing louder through every step we took.
"Hey, it's in our constitution, we're allowed," I retorted.
"Life, liberty, and the pursuit of that sweet, sweet oil money."
Sandra chuckled as we walked on, still scanning when we noticed a faint glow coming from further down, bright blue tinted red against the stone encasing us. We didn't stop, but I know I held my breath for the next few meters before we entered the huge, open cavern. Above us, a cavern of stars was spread out for miles, phosphorescent blue shining down from something on the stone roof. As we watched, the occasional drip would fall from them, landing atop the spiraling ocean split in front of us. The light reflected a deep red on the liquid surface below, a solid, shining pathway of rock divided the sea in front of us, glowing bright with the same bioluminescence. I pulled out a test tube from one of my belt compartments, moving to the edge of the liquid substance to take a sample.
"Don't just stick your hand in it," Sandra shouted.
"I'm not an idiot," I mentioned, removing a small pair of tongs from another pocket. Gripping the tube tight enough to keep hold, but loose enough not to shatter it, I made sure to go slow, dipping it down into the strange subterranean ocean. It took more force than I expected, the substance being more vicious than expected. When I pulled the tube back up, it was dripping from the outside, slowly joining the echo of whatever was falling from the ceiling. I capped it, shaking it off before bagging and wrapping it to protect the sample. After it was safely sealed up, I shined my flashlight on it to get a clearer look. It was a deep crimson, thick, and it looked like something was swirling around in it.
"Possible organisms in it. God, getting this under a microscope? We found something big, y'all."
"Should we go ahead further?"
Sho asked, walking to where the small pathway narrowed in, leading deeper through the ocean cavern, a split in the Red Sea. He was shining his flashlight down the way, trying to see into the deep black punctuated by blue glowing stars. There was no end in sight to the tavern, and the ceiling was so high that the light's beam couldn't even reach it, leaving the glowing stars above to their own devices.
"Not yet. I want to come down here more prepared first," Sandra said, standing to put away a sample of the phosphorescent material. "Looks like a type of spore, but we need to have more light. Some flotation devices for safety. Getting this back to the folks at base is going to be huge."
"All right, so what? Mark it and head back to the rig? Or should we hit the gas back at base ASAP?"
I asked, stepping away from the edge. There was something about it that was making me feel odd. The discovery was something to be proud of, and I was happy about it, but there was this nagging sense, that feeling that I shouldn't be here. That nobody should be here. Ever.
"Actually, I vote for hitting the base camp as fast as we can. I don't know about you guys, but I'm getting the creeps."
"Same here,"
Sho replied. We packed it in, turning to leave. We were so focused on the sea in front of us that we didn't even think to look back at where the entrance was, now noticing the walls all around the small cavern opening. Dozens of etches were in the cavern walls, stitched together in a bizarre series of shapes and drawings, making no comprehensible pattern from our perspective. Sho walked over, putting a hand up to one of the deeply carved lines in front of him. The smooth bores in the walls were finely crafted, put in with utmost care.
"So that doesn't happen naturally," I stammered out, approaching another section of the wall.
Everything was immaculate.
Compared to the rough, rocky surface above us, this was smooth, carved with passion by hands and reverence, or perhaps fear.
That chill ran up my spine again as I stepped back, looking up to where the bizarre glyphs extended high in the cavern ceiling. There was no visible end, even with our high-powered lights. There was no telling what they became further up.
"All right, that's enough for today. Let's head back."
The ascent back up was taxing, the incline much more steep than it had seemed on the way down. The thought kept coming up in my head that there was something back there, waiting for us to turn our backs on it so it could sneak closer, getting a jump on us. Every time I looked back, though, the empty cave greeted my eyes, with nothing to show beyond a blanket of darkness. By the time that we had made it back to the buggy, we were all completely exhausted, panting hard in the stale air of our suits. We loaded in, hitting the reverse and relying on an autopilot to get us out of there and back to the surface in about 30 minutes, with only minor bumps and scrapes from the narrow sections of the tunnel. The glaring light on the surface was intense, sun baking down to give us a reminder of how hot the surface was than down below. The RV was there, covered in red dust, as if it had been through a sandstorm. It took us a moment, but once everything was loaded in, we set off back to the base, samples in hand, and eager to look closer once we returned. "Garage, we're coming in," I radioed in once we began to get closer. "Research vehicle returning, we've got some big news."
"Teller, that you? Are Sho and Sandra there too? Where the fuck have you been?"
Comms responded, almost screaming into the mic.
"We've been out at the research spot. You literally let us out this morning," I replied, confused.
"You've been gone for 2 days. The hell did you do out there?"
Comms asked back, confusion taking over the anger and fear in their voice.
"Did something happen? Did you break down?"
We got back into the garage within minutes, deciding to check in and debrief there rather than explain over comm systems. Two higher-ups came in to meet with us, shuffling us into a small lab nearby. They didn't enter, though, instead standing at the small observation window and speaking in through the comm system.
"Do you have any explanation for being out for 2 days? You were supposed to be back within 12 hours of departure,"
one of the men said, General Pratt, an older man in charge of the U.S. interests up here on base.
"We've been very concerned. A rescue mission has been organized when you three drove back up."
Hao, leader of the Chinese delegation on the base, was looking at us with much less rage than Pratt was.
"Look, we've been gone for maybe 4 or 5 hours. We got to the designated point, found a cave, went down, stayed for a minute, then came back up. Now we're here. It's only been a short few hours."
Sandra was trying to explain, but none of us were seeing eye to eye. Everything was off, and the concerned expressions on these two men's faces were making all of us uncomfortable.
"What about the suit footage? We have GoPros set up in those things, so just check them, you'll see."
Sho was almost frantic, the prospect of that missing time almost breaking his brain. We had discussed it on the way in, with none of us able to account for it, all agreeing we were only gone for a few hours. The more we thought about it, though, the more it made sense, though. The dust on the RV couldn't have gotten there in just a few hours, and there weren't any storms recorded in the area at the time we were gone, so where the hell did the time go?
"We're actually checking the suit cameras right now. We don't know what in the world you found down there, but right now we're 7 hours in, and the footage, as soon as you get ready to leave down there, just becomes still. You have your samples, you're packed up, talking about your discovery. Then before you could turn around to leave, everything gets weird. All three of you stop, standing like statues the entire time. We got a couple of guys skimming the footage, but so far there's no change. The batteries on the cameras likely died during the time you were out, but that's not the biggest problem here," Pratt explained.
"That makes no damn sense. We would have ran out of our air reserves," I mentioned. "We only have 24 hours of those things, but there was enough for us to make it back."
"You took your damn helmets off. You didn't use any of your air reserves,"
Hao leveled, looking at each of us in the eyes in turn.
So, how the hell are you here right now?
We what? I stammered out. No, that makes no sense. We had our helmets on the entire time. None of us were stupid enough to take them off up there. That would be instant death. So what the hell?
Look, there's no way any of us would have done that. We're not stupid.
Wouldn't be up here if you were, Pratt said, looking into my eyes now, seriousness in his furrowed brow. But I need to know what the hell would make y'all do that.
We don't know, sir,
Sho whispered. Sandra was still staring blankly in front of her, and he had his hands crossed in front of him in prayer. There was no telling what was going through their minds, but I know mine was racing with thoughts of the past few hours. I didn't feel any different. There was nothing off about my body. Once we got out of the Atmos suits when we entered, it was refreshing to breathe clean air again, but nothing indicated that they were off before then.
Look, we're going to keep you three in observation for a bit, just to make sure everything is baseline.
Hao said, putting his hands up to calm us, despite everyone's dumbfounded, quiet state.
We'll let you have Lab 2, though. That way you could study your findings in the meantime.
So, are we going back to Earth again?
Sho asked, fear in his eyes now. He was thinking the same thing we were. Having no helmets on, especially down there, all kinds of possible pathogens or biological hazards could have gotten to us. There was no telling what we may have brought back to the base. God, what have we done?
I don't know,
Hao said, a heavyweight in his voice.
I do know that your discovery will lead to immense advancements for humanity, though, and you will be part of history no matter what.
That's not promising, I muttered, looking at the lab around me. Where are my samples?
They'll be brought in momentarily. We're cataloging items right now, to be sure.
Pratt said, nodding over to a small exchange door on the lab wall.
Once it's ready, they'll put it through here.
Throw some whiskey in there too if you can. If I'm trapped here, at least let me drink, I mentioned, hoping for the best. Pratt just nodded, so I'm taking it as a good sign. The two officers walked away then, leaving us to ponder our own mortality for the foreseeable future. I tried to sit in one of the chairs in the corner, but something was making me stay up, only letting me pace nervously as we awaited the samples to study. Sandra was only staring ahead at the wall, while Sho was muttering to himself constantly, going over ways in his head to find out what may be wrong with us or if there was some way to test. We were in a lab, so not like there wasn't resources around, but with the addled state our brains were in, there's no thinking straight like that. Maybe an hour, maybe two. Finally, a bin was pushed through the exchange drawer, our sample vials inside along with a few other items from the RV. Underneath, a bottle of Jack nestled in for all of us to split. I practically dove for it, desperate to see what we had found, what was keeping us here, and for a drink. Look, I'm well aware at this point I probably have a problem. Least of my worries now, though. Taking a swig straight from the bottle, then offering it to the others who both shook their heads, I was ready to face whatever we were up against. One of the samples went into a test to see exactly what the hell it was, and took a small drop, putting it right onto the slide and barely getting it in place before pressing my eye to the scope.
No. No fucking way,
I said, focusing in on the scope dials to get a more clear look at what was below. Small red cells formed and slipped around each other in the fluid. Sandra, Sho, I need you to look at this.
What is it?
Sho asked, coming forward. Sandra didn't respond for a moment, having to shake herself out of the stupor as I tapped her on the shoulder. Look, and tell me what you think, I said, making room in front of the microscope for him. He put his eyes to the viewer, adjusting for a moment before gasping, stepping back, and almost stumbling into one of the counters. Sandra stepped up to look and had the same response, falling to the ground and scrambling backwards.
Is that blood?
Sho was holding his stomach. A dry heaving started to work its way up to escape his mouth. Can't blame him, considering that was my first thought as well after seeing the red cells pulsating and moving past each other.
Why is it moving?
I don't know. I really don't know. I have some testing to see if it's really blood. There's something else in there too, though. Did you see it? I asked, adjusting the slide towards another direction. Look again. Sho peered back into the scope, gasping as he saw the same thing I did only moments ago. A small, dark organism moving its way through the red cells and eating them. I don't know if that's what it was actually doing, but just touching the red cells made it begin to shrink, decaying to nothing before it moved on to another.
Could that be in us?
He asked, looking from me to Sandra. I noticed now his eyes were bloodshot, a dark red against pale skin. It creeps me out, but I'm chalking it up to lack of sleep. Hell, I probably looked no better. The machine nearby dinged, telling me that the first vial's component testing was done. Paper began feeding from the computer nearby, the results of the machine's work. I hesitated, swallowing the lump in my throat before grabbing the paper, ripping it off, and closing my eyes as I brought it to my face. To have a look. You have to look. Have to. Part 2. I opened my eyes, reading off the results before me with shock. The test designated it as blood, but it was so much worse. Oh my God. It took a few seconds to hit me, but I had managed to make it over to the trash can before puking my guts out into the garbage. The freshly downed alcohol burned its way back up like hellfire, making me wince and choke. Sho snatched away the paper before it could float to the ground, left behind while I was dealing with my own existential dread. I could see his face turn pale as the same results were read off.
Human,
he whispered, scanning the paper again and again to see if he was imagining it, desperately hoping that the results would change before his eyes.
The hell does this mean, Teller?
I couldn't even speak, just shaking my head as another heave of anxiety worked up my gut upwards. It hit me then that we had another sample, the small, glowing organic material that Sandra took. I grabbed the tube from within the box, emptying it onto a slide to inspect it now. The spore was small, still giving off a faint blue light even out of its natural environment, but no bigger than the smallest grain of sand. Another slide was quickly pressed atop it, moving right under the scope to reveal whatever horrors we may have been down there with. It wiggled under the pressure of the slide, trying desperately to escape. As I looked through, the small pinchers became visible on one end of it, with hundreds of small legs branching off in every direction, scurrying, stressed beyond its limits, trying to get out of its new environment.
It's alive,
I muttered, moving over so Sho could take a look.
I don't know what the fuck it is, but it's a living biological organism,
Oh my god,
he whispered in return. Sandra sat in the corner, still out of it but now grabbing at her skin, complaining about an itch. Sho was trying to cry through bloodshot eyes, looking at me as he moved his eyes from the microscope.
We found life on Mars.
Great. Fucking great, I muttered, taking another drink and feeling it burn down into my empty belly. My mind was racing, not sure if I would ever make it off this godforsaken desert planet. Sho continued staring through the microscope now, studying the creature before a thought came to him. As he grabbed a dropper and the remaining blood samples opening the slide, I almost stopped him. It occurred to me that we're about to do something bad. That we have discovered something that could inevitably kill us all. Yet I couldn't stop him because of my own curiosity and apathy surrounding my current situation.
Look,
Sho told me, gesturing me closer to the microscope now. The thing inside the slide was now absorbing the entire sample of blood Sho had just set on the slide, growing as it did. The blue glow pulsed as it absorbed more of the life force nearby, greedily sucking it up as it grew like a damned tick.
It won't stop,
Sandra muttered, grabbing at her skin, pulling on it like she was trying to get something off her. I noticed scratches beginning to show as her nails dug deeper into her arm.
The itching, it won't go away. I'm so itchy it hurts.
What? I asked, moving over to her. What's itching?
Everything.
She shuddered again, a cold sweat shining on her forehead. I could see her growing pale, eyes bloodshot like Sho's. He was looking at me in fear, an understanding forming in his eyes as Sandra clawed at her skin more furiously.
Everything crawling. Oh!
She screamed as her nails finally tore through her skin, unleashing a small trickle of blood that began down her arms. Moving. The blood was moving, pulsating down. As it dripped to the floor under her, it began to scatter before disappearing, the luminous blue-colored pulsating, reflecting off the crimson blood like some fucked-up police lights.
Oh shit,
Sho said, grabbing the nearest sterile tray he could find and started to beat at the micro-terrors skittering around on the ground. It almost reminded me of that mummy movie with all the scarabs bursting from skin. I shivered, fighting to keep my composure. These things were more like roaches, surviving the hardest hits from the tray as Sho fell to his knees, desperately smashing the tray into the ground to no avail as these things simply absorbed more blood, scrambling for every drop that fell from Sandra, bringing newcomers to the feast along with it. Sandra grew more pale, eventually beginning to shrivel from the blood loss. Thousands of the things swarmed around, feeding on her from the inside out. I was brought out of my stupor by Sho shouting out once more,
Tella, help!
I don't know what I was thinking, but I grabbed the bottle of whiskey off the table, took a lighter we used for some old Bunsen burners nearby, and readied myself. I heaved the full bottle back, getting ready to smash it towards the tile floor with all my might.
Move!
He pulled away just in time, leaving the bloody tray rattling on the floor. The bottle hit the ground, exploding into glass and whiskey all over. I hit the lighter, getting ready to toss it right after. But before I could, something began to happen. Blue lights across the floor began to sputter out, the organisms stopping where they were and convulsing as the alcohol touched them. Everything that was touched by the spirits began to seize, stay where they were on the ground and thrash in agony as they died. I could hear a small, guttural scream echoing out in chorus as they died, hundreds going silent one after the other. The occasional one would still crawl from one of Sandra's wounds, falling to the ground into the drink before writhing in agony like those before it, dying on the floor.
"She's dead,"
Sho whispered, looking at Sandra's drained corpse.
They killed her.
"Sho, I need your blood," I said, already grabbing a scalpel and holding it up to one of my fingers. "God, please." I hesitated before making the incision, praying to whatever gods on Earth or Mars that I wouldn't have those things in me. Please. The razor-sharp blade didn't even hurt with all the adrenaline running through my veins. I grabbed a fresh slide, squeezing a drop out onto it. I closed my eyes as the other side was put on top, loading it into the microscope and praying one more final plea before looking down. "Oh, thank fuck." I breathed a sigh of relief, seeing no traces of the small creatures, just healthy, swimming red and white cells. Clean blood. "Sho, come on. We need to be sure."
I know, I'm ahead of you,"
he said, grabbing a new scalpel and slide to take his own sample. The incision was made, his eyes closing with prayer like mine did just moments ago. We knew before we could even get it under the microscope, before we could even get the slide on top. His blood was pulsating, a blue glow from millions of tiny dots almost made it look like there were glitter scattering into the crimson, mixing into a deep purple. He became more pale.
"I'm going to be sick."
"Don't go dying on me yet," I said, grabbing a bottle of isopropyl alcohol from a nearby cabinet. One drop on the slide and I put it on top of it, sliding it under the scope to watch and see if my theory had any kind of hope. It worked. The spindly glowing creatures were thrashing around on the slide, blue glow sputtering as they seized up just like the ones from Sandra. The blood was left alone, preserved by the alcohol for now, as the creatures died off in huge numbers. My belief is fucking vindicated. There might be a way out of this after all. If I'm right, I might be able to save Shoto before he gets drained like Sandra. The phone in the corner of the room began to beep, a signal coming in from wherever they were keeping an eye on us. Running over, I was out of breath before they could even get the word out, making my demands as fast as possible. "Strongest drinkable alcohol we have. I need it. Higher proof, the better. Now." I was almost yelling into the receiver. Swear I could hear the other guy on the other line retreating from the damn phone. All he gave me was a,
"Yes, sir,"
before Pratt came on the line, voice gruff.
"The hell happened in there?"
he said, anger in his voice. "Sandra's dead. Sho might be too, if you don't get me those damn drinks fast enough. You might want to have a few yourself just in case," I mentioned, pulling back for a moment and waiting for his answer, expecting him to offer some rebuttal to what was happening now.
"Okay, do what you need to,"
he mumbled. Something was off. Something about the way he was responding to the situation. He was too calm. "Sir, you assigned this research point, right?" I asked, gauging my words carefully.
"That's not a question for right now," he shot back, hanging up the line.
That bastard knows something, I muttered, turning back to Shoto and seeing him begin the shake. Just in time, I heard the transfer drawer slam, two big glass bottles being shoved through in a bin. One whiskey like before, and one bottle of... holy shit, Everclear? No idea why anyone that brought that up there when there was always better things, but who am I to judge? I uncapped it, shoving at the show. Drink. Don't know how much, but just get drinking.
You sure about this?
He asked, grabbing the bottle and taking a huge gulp. His face contorted in disgust as the burn descended through his throat, down into his stomach. Assuming he was on an empty stomach, I know mine had been growling, so it was likely. The alcohol should absorb quickly into his blood, giving us a much more favorable time limit than Sandra had. No, but what choice do we have? I shrugged, uncapping my own bottle and taking a hard gulp. He shrugged, the very act looking like it was uncomfortable for him. I could tell he was starting to hurt, getting that same feeling Sandra must have had before the itching started. The microorganisms must not be big enough yet to cause that, but I'm sure they were feasting on his blood in his veins as we sat, now passing the bottle of whiskey back and forth, a much more palatable alternative to the Everclear. I kept an eye from him to the digital clock on the wall, every minute passing by in agony. These things died on almost immediate contact, so it was just a matter of letting the alcohol get into his bloodstream and spread through his body. After 20 minutes, we both were feeling nervous, but the time came. Take two?
Guess so,
Sho replied, holding out his hand to me. The scalpel went through his finger, dropping onto the slide I was holding. It wasn't moving, no pulsating, just still blood. He sighed in relief, but to be sure, we loaded it into the microscope. The microorganisms were still in there, but completely still. No glow coming from them anymore. It worked. Sho let out a sigh, holding up the bottle of Everclear and giving a toast.
Cheers to not being drained from the inside, I guess.
We have other problems now, I said, raising my bottle and drinking again alongside him.
God, I need some food though.
I went to the phone, ringing out to security to request something to be brought in. But there was no answer. Only silence met me on the other line.
Sons of bitches,
Sho said, moving to the window and beginning to bang his fist against it.
Hey, let us out!
They're not going to, I mumbled, looking around at our options. There was that same feeling gnawing at me, knowing something obviously wasn't right. Pratt knew something about that area, but whatever it was, he wasn't telling us. I sat down in a nearby chair, leaning it back and looking at the ceiling, struggling to come up with an answer to what we could do.
We could break the window,
Sho offered, a fist being balled up against the glass in front of him. He looked woozy, not holding his liquor very well. Couldn't blame him either. Drinking on an empty stomach isn't too pleasant. I was only moving around fine because I was kinda used to it, but he was having a struggle going on in his body. Can't imagine he was feeling great after the blood loss either. Barely bleeding yet also mostly drained must be one hell of a sensation. I don't know, man. I don't know what the hell we should do about any of this. Whatever that is, it's too dangerous to just stay here. I don't think Pratt has good intentions for it either. I said, looking straight into the camera in the ceiling corner. Do you, you bastard?
How did that get in here, though?
He said, whispering in a shaky voice. I could only shake my head and shrug. Above my pay grade, I mumbled, finally getting up after a moment, grabbing one of the metal material carts nearby and pulling up on the handle to test its weight. Should be all right. Think you could distract them for a little while?
I'm going with you,
he said, trying to stand himself, but stumbling instead. No, you're not. I need to move fast, I said, crouching to get a good grip on the cart, lifting with my entire back into it. You need to send a message back home about this. They don't need to send anyone up here.
You serious?
He said, sitting back on the counter now, looking more faint. Adrenaline was probably wearing off on him, with no telling how much longer he could stay cautious. You saw how quickly that killed her, right? She's just your baseline. That stuff thrives on blood, and if it gets back home, what was all this for? Terraforming fucking Mars just to bring death back to a dying Earth? Useless. I began ranting, yelling as I stepped towards the observation window. No going back now. I heaved one more time, tossing the cart with all my strength. The glass shattered, scattering the floor outside in the hall. I draped a fire blanket over the edge, scraping broken glass off before I climbed over.
Toss me the ISO over there!
I shouted back to Sho, who began to grab the alcohol from the cabinets nearby.
The hell are you going to do?
He asked, tossing one bottle at the time over the broken windowsill to me. We didn't see how far that cavern went back. I'm gonna go see if I can find a source, I mentioned, pointing to a bag that was left over one of the lab chairs, which Sho promptly tossed over. Loading the bottles in, I started off, moving back towards the cafeteria. Stay safe. I'm gonna take care of things.
Be careful,
he shouted after me.
Unlock the door too.
Flipping the lock as I passed by, Sho slipped out and started going the opposite way. Though where, I have no idea. It took about 10 minutes for me to make it into the cafeteria, blowing past the poor cook on duty, taking every bit of alcohol I could, piling it into the bag, then beelining for the garage. I quickly found where Sho had been, finding him struggling for breath, leaning against the wall, leading into the locker room nearby.
Suits in the RV. I told them to open the door as soon as you're in to let you out of the garage. I raided the other labs, so ISO too. There should be more in there. It's just kinda thrown in though. That's all the energy I had.
He was barely able to get the words out through labored breaths. Rest. I'll try to get back, thank you, I said, patting him on the back before running through the door, scrambling into the still dusty RV we made our original journey in. That thing went faster than I had ever taken it, blasting through the Martian deserts with no regard to the rocky terrain underneath. It was a much faster journey than the first time. As I approached the formation popping up in the distance, I started mentally preparing my list. I was going to attempt taking the buggy down the entire way, crossing the path between seas on it as far as I could go. There had to be something at the end, somewhere back there. Some way to stop these things from ever making it out of there. I loaded everything into the buggy before we deployed it, hardly letting the RV come to a stop before opening the bay doors. The entire back seat was filled with enough alcohol to make a college frat house sick, so hopefully
it would stand up to whatever this was. It didn't seem to take much to kill them, but my fingers are crossed regardless. The buggy was out in seconds, rumbling down the path into the cave. I didn't even care about my own safety at this point, just hitting the pedal to the floor and hoping for the best. When the blue light began to glow from beyond my headlights, I finally started tapping the brakes a little. The cavern opened up before me, luminescent blue and the great dark maw above making entire star systems. God, it would have been beautiful if I didn't know what the hell it was. Vibrant blue fell from up high, dropping into the blood sea like snow over the ocean, pulsing brighter as it settled into the warm life force below. I pressed on, turning on the brights on the buggy, and carefully making my way onto the jagged rock path in between. The blood that was overtaking it made waves as my wheels passed through, making the blue twinkle as it was tossed up in my wake, responding to the stimulus. I heard a loud scream echoing off the cave walls yet miles away. Something knew I was there. The brights of the buggy didn't cut through the darkness as well as I had hoped, but I pressed on still, always keeping an eye on the path ahead. Eventually, I could see that the cavern was narrowing again. The seas on either side were beginning to reflect off smooth walls, maybe 2 or 3 kilos into the cave, judging by the meter on my dash. My path stayed consistent, though, a split in the Red Sea bringing me ever closer to what lay beyond. High above, the same pulsing kept going through, beginning to slope inwards towards something in front. At some point, it looked like a tunnel of stars in some amusement park ride, except with the metallic scent of blood punctuating every part of my surroundings. There, up ahead, the light continued to pulse but much brighter, like a concentration of whatever was causing it. My brights began to reflect off the smooth cave walls around me, the seas narrowing further as the path met the wall, leaving only small trenches on either side of me leading back to the sea. It almost looked to be flowing this way, but I couldn't tell well enough what the light provided. Until I hit the full force of the glow, finding the end of the cavern abruptly. Whatever it was, it almost looked human. At least, at one time it did. Centuries or eons ago, I have no idea, but this thing looked like a bastardized giant, a face with eyes only, millions of them covering the top half of it. These eyes were the source of the blue pulse, ringing through the entire cavern like a beacon to the others. I could see massive versions of the damned things. These parasites crawling to and from the base of the giant, exactly where the rivers of blood stemmed from. They were tearing at it, sucking greedily from the rivers as they tore at the thing, trying to empty more blood into their pit outside. The thing's mouth was open in a twisted scream, creatures crawling in and out with seemingly no purpose but to reproduce inside and out. Once they had drank their fill of the sustenance flowing from the giant, they climbed back to the cavern ceiling. These were the glowing stars that were hanging above us the whole time, dropping their growing offspring down into the seas to grow strong. One caught sight of me in the bright lights of the buggy, letting out a guttural shriek and running towards me, hundreds of skittering legs holding up their slender body, blue light glowing brighter as it sensed fresh prey. I grabbed one of the bottles of ISO nearby, undoing the cap and splashing it when the thing came near.
It fell back, screaming loud and alerting the others nearby as steam sizzled off its skin. Hundreds of huge eyes glaring at me with hatred and hunger. My presence was known now. With nothing left to lose, I started uncapping bottles, emptying them into the rivers flowing from the giant, bright blue specks floating like little islands on the surface. The plastic bottles of ISO were all emptied when the screaming from the others started, blue pulsing against the flowing red underfoot and pale flesh of the dead god in front of me. The things began moving forward, lights all combining into one dazzling show as they scurried towards me, fear shining in their eyes for what I was doing. I kept one of the ISO bottles to cover my way out, but not before pulling the lighter I had loaded into my suit pocket, flicking it right into the very flammable alcohol that was now floating around on top of the blood in front of me. They screamed louder as the flames roared up high, giving me my first real look at them in full light. These things were extra ugly, the bright light serving only to bring prey into them. Underneath, millions of dark eyes were staring me down. Hatred filled them as I burned their potential young before their eyes. I didn't care. I saw what they could do. This wasn't natural. This wasn't good. This was just pure evil, made to devour and reproduce. The flames grew high in front of me as I threw one of the drinking bottles further, letting the flames mix and spread. There was enough room for me to three-point turn the buggy while they were still struggling against the flames, and I stepped onto the pedal once more, opening bottle caps as I went back the way I came. Each bottle was emptied into the seas alongside me as I drove, a couple of drinks taken by me in the process just to fight off whatever nerves were still cutting through my adrenaline. As bottles were emptied on the way back, I could hear loud splashes far off in the distance, huge stars dropping from above to leave massive impacts in the sea, buffeting the buggy and threatening to throw me over the side every which way. I was struggling just to stay on the path, even more when I could see the large blue glows skittering towards me, the surface tension of the seas letting them walk like it was nothing. I don't know how I got out, but I just kept emptying bottles until they were all gone. When I finally hit the entrance, hitting the incline to go back up, I stopped to throw one last bottle of rum at the wall, seeing it smash as it hit the smooth, carved etchings in the wall. Striking a flare, I sent it sailing towards the broken glass, igniting the alcohol instantly. To my surprise, the flare began to spread through the carvings, ascending the wall with fervor and lighting up the entire surface with no discernible pattern in the flames, eventually overtaking the cavern ceiling above. Screams echoed from every direction in the cave as the creatures hit a fervor, the path of flames I had left floating on now frothing seas of blood behind me. There was no way in hell I was sticking around to see what the flames did. Screams chasing me all the way as I almost put the pedal through the damned floor. I made it out into the harsh Martian sun, almost blinding from the total darkness down below. I didn't know Sho was able to get the message out. Hell, I don't even know if the alcohol is going to be an actual answer to the issue, or just a band-aid to keep them at bay. I'm typing everything out now in the RV though, trying to send a message out back home to tell people. I know there is nothing I could do if they got out, and I know it would be the end if they got back to Earth. There's probably going to be some kind of inquisition when I get back to base. Probably going to get arrested, hell. Considering how shady Pratt was acting, I didn't doubt they were after this thing to utilize as a weapon or something. What's to come is a mystery. But for now, I'm gonna just keep moving forward.
There's no telling if I'll ever make it back to Earth alive. But I'll do my best to keep it safe from here. From these damned things. God, I need a drink.